Hey, I'm Avery.
And I'm Asante.
And this is Zillennial Moms.
And today's episode is going to be Fed is Best. We say fed is best because no matter which way you feed your baby, that is the best way to do it, and you are doing great as a mom. Mm-hmm. I would like to share a quote with you guys, and it goes like this: informed, supported, and empowered is best.
Amen to that. So we decided for today's episode, it's going to be a lot more organic and a little bit less structured. It's going to be more conversational. Yes. So first I want to talk about breastfeeding. And I kind of feel like in America, at least, breastfeeding is a little taboo.
Yeah.
Like, people, obviously women do it here in the U.S., but our rates are significantly lower in comparison to other countries.
But I agree.
With that being said, I don't know. I just breastfeeding, as far as when I became a mom and I found I was pregnant, it wasn't something that dawned on me. Mm-hmm. Like, I never thought about breastfeeding and what I wanted to do until I became pregnant and I was asked by one of the midwives what I wanted to do. So, Right. Did you feel the same way? Did you always know you want to breastfeed, or was it just kind of like once you became a mom, you kind of knew?
Once I became a mom, I knew it wasn't something that I thought about like regularly. Like, you know, when you think about having kids, you think about just, oh, what you want, a boy and a girl, and you know, the whole nine yards. So it wasn't nothing like I thought too much into. It wasn't until I actually became pregnant that I gave it thought. Because yes. I know that when I was a baby, I had a milk allergy.
So
I knew that for those reasons, I'm like, okay, I'm going to try the breastfeeding thing. Because my mom told me that when I was a baby, it got to a point where I had bloody stools, you know?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, do
you think our age played into it? Like we talked about in our young mom episode that, you know, it was kind of a whirlwind of emotions because we were young and we didn't really plan to have a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that contributed to you maybe possibly not even thinking about how you want to feed your child?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Because when you, well, becoming a parent, period, you don't really think everything through. You know what I'm saying? You just kind of go with the flow kind of thing. But as a young mom versus an older mom, yeah, it's definitely an age factor in there, to whereas you wouldn't think about whether you want to breastfeed or formula feed or however you want to feed your baby, you know what I'm saying? Because you just kind of cross that bridge when you get there, versus when you're older, you got a little bit more wisdom and knowledge and you're sitting there thinking about, okay, what'll be best, you know?
Right. I agree.
So, yes, definitely. I feel like age definitely played a role in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you, how did you feed your baby?
So I breastfed Harlow only the first month. I wasn't producing a lot of milk for various different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a listener and you're listening to this and you do breastfeed, you know breastfeeding is not just black and white. There's a lot of gray areas. But I breastfed her for as long as I possibly could, and there was just too much gray area for me. So I was like, girl, you going on formula. But
right.
Yeah, I used the nipple shield, and I think that was a huge factor into why my milk supply decreased.
Mm-hmm.
And yep, so I was like we said, fed is best. So I was like, I'm gonna just formula feed her.
So tell me more about the nipple shield, because I also breastfeed. Well, we'll get more into that in a bit, but tell me about the nipple shield, because I never actually had to use the nipple shield, or I don't really, you know, I'm not really familiar with that.
So I didn't even know a nipple shield was a thing. I thought they were going to hand me my baby and she was just going to open her mouth and drink my milk. Lordy, lordy, lordy. It's not that easy, first of all.
Definitely
nipple shield or not, it does not happen like that, let me tell you. But they gave me the nipple shield, and when I did further research after the fact and I talked to other women, they were like, well, do you have flat or inverted nipples?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no. And they're like, then why'd they give you the nipple shield? I'm like, I don't know. Wow. I popped my baby out and the lactation consultant came over and she said, here, she put it on for me. And that was the last I've seen or heard of her.
Oh, wow.
So I was basically given something and the person who gave it to me was basically, in a sense, in my opinion, irresponsible, because her responsibility as a lactation consultant was to explain to me why she's giving it to me, how I use it, how to properly put it on. And none of that was explained to me. And after doing further research, I found out that using a nipple shield for extended periods of time can absolutely hinder your milk supply.
Wow.
So, yeah. But, yeah, it's basically for women that have flat or inverted nipples or trouble with latching, like if you have a preemie. But it's supposed to be kind of like a stepping stone or something to help the nipple come out if it is inverted, to help the baby latch on. But from my understanding, it's not supposed to be something you use long term.
Wow.
Yeah.
So basically, do you think that played a role in hindering your supply?
Yeah, I do think that was part of it.
Okay.
But because my milk supply was low, I wasn't sleeping because the baby wanted to eat more often. I'm talking like every half hour. So I was constantly awake 24 hours, basically. Didn't have time to eat, didn't have time to sleep. And both of those things can hinder your milk supply as well. So it was just a whole bunch of variables that added together. It was just a hot mess. But yeah. So I want these listeners to know about what you're going through and your obstacles that you faced thus far.
With Kaden?
Yes, with your breastfeeding journey.
And my breastfeeding journey. So actually, they sent me home with Kaden, triple feeding. And when you triple feed, you basically breastfeed, supplement, and formula feed. They sent him home on the triple feed diet because he was premature and they wanted to see a consistent weight gain. So when they sent me home, I was trying to get him to latch. So breastfeeding him, I was pumping. And with my pumped milk, I was mixing that with formula. And when I didn't have him latch, or when I wasn't mixing my breast milk with the formula, he was just getting formula for his feeds. Of course, you know, that became a lot.
A lot.
So the goal was to actually transition him into just completely breastfeeding, because I wanted to have that, basically that freedom to not have to wash bottles out, not have to wash pump parts.
Right. And,
you know, just be able to put him on a boob and that be that. Well, moving along didn't go as planned. So I'm still in the process of trying to get him to boob completely. We ran into a couple of issues along the way, though. In the beginning, the latching started to hurt because he was tongue-tied. But he had, like, a posterior tongue tie. And it's, like, different levels to the tongue tie. His was a level 3 posterior tongue tie. And I had to face the decision of getting it clipped or not. Right. I ended up getting the frenotomy done so they can clip his tongue tie. They did that. But then we ran into another issue with him having a milk allergy. Basically, the same thing that I had when I was a baby. So now the focus is cutting dairy out of my diet so that, again, to complete my goal of strictly breastfeeding, no formula, no nothing, I would have to cut dairy out of my diet so that he can just drink my breast milk with no issues, and so that we can work on the latch to be more comfortable.
Right.
So that's the focus currently.
See, and like I was saying, there's more variables, because say he didn't have a tongue tie, and you got on the latch, but then you're like, oh, it's what I'm eating. Like, if it's not one thing, it could be another, or it could be a combination of things when it comes to breastfeeding.
For sure.
Just black and white. So what would you say has helped you the most as far as resources, advice, etc.? What helped you the most this far through your journey?
Support.
Support? Oh. I could see that definitely, without a doubt.
Because it's so easy. Because, like you said, you thought Harlow was just going to come out, put on your boob, and she was going to be drinking your milk.
Right.
It's so easy to get discouraged when your child doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm. And then you kind of feel like, you feel like as a mom too, you're like, well, this is what my body's naturally meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what the baby's naturally meant to do. So you think in your mind, oh, I should already have it figured out.
Right, exactly.
But to me, like now in hindsight, looking back, I'm like, that's the equivalent of giving birth for the first time and you expecting to have like a smooth birth process.
Mm-hmm.
Like you've never done it before.
Yeah.
How are you, even if you have done it before, like it's giving birth and it's the same thing with breastfeeding. It's not, you're just not gonna, you might not get it right away and that's okay.
Yep.
So I wanted to get into supplementing because that's basically what you're doing. Did you know about supplementing prior to having a kid?
No. I knew I could tell you a supplement. I knew about a vitamin.
Right. No, for real. When I heard supplements, that's exactly what I thought about. I'm like, supplement?
I gotta give him a vitamin.
Right. I'm like, what? But yeah, by definition, as far as breastfeeding and, you know, feeding your child in general, supplementing is giving your baby formula or expressed human milk. So you could strictly be giving your child breast milk, but still kind of be supplementing if they're on the boob or a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
That's all in addition to actually breastfeeding. And of course, it's for when you supplement, it can be for nutrition concerns or it can be medically necessary. Like for instance, in my situation, I had to supplement with Caden because he came early and because they had him on a premature formula to make sure he was getting those extra calories that he may not would have gotten with my breast milk. So it can be medically necessary, or some moms like to do it because they feel like they want to watch their child's weight gain, or, you know, they want to do the whole make sure their child is getting enough per feed. So. Yeah.
Right. I remember my grandmother, I think it was, I don't know, I got so much advice from so many different people when I was breastfeeding, but she said something about supplementing and I'm like, what? But in my mind, supplementing just seems so, I don't know, just not appealing to me. Cause I was like, if I'm gonna feed my child, I'm doing one or the other. That's how I looked at it. And I was going back to school at the time and I was just like you just mentioned, like you didn't want to have to wash extra bottle parts and do this.
Right,
and do
right.
That. So I was like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do one and not the other. That's what I looked at it as. Especially since I do feel like breastfeeding resources are almost non-existent. It's like pulling teeth to try to get resources and find out information.
For sure.
And from people that are really supposed to be giving it to you, like medical professionals. So with that being said, I'm like, I'm supplementing. So then I was like, well, what if my milk supply doesn't go up, or how do I get my milk? I just had so many questions and I wasn't even getting my basic questions answered. So I'm like, why? I don't know. I was just like, why would I do that? I could not wrap my mind around it. I don't know why. Because
so basically, you didn't know that supplementing could be just strictly giving her your breast milk too, right?
Yes, but the thing, it was kind of similar what was happening with you, I think, where like I would go to pump because I didn't know how much she was getting, and we couldn't tell if she was getting enough, if it was low milk supply, if she just was like lethargic kind of and just falling asleep. We didn't know what was going on. So, you know, people recommended pumping, but every time I go to pump, I swear this child knew. I would get myself together, clean my parts, sit down, get my little Netflix show on, and she start crying, waking up to eat.
Aww.
I'm like, so how am I supposed to pump? Like, I was like, I was pumping and then just giving it right to her. I'm like, I might as well just keep putting her on the boob, but the boob's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. So I'm like, what am I supposed to do?
And then they had the factor with the whole nipple show.
It was just going on. Yes, very, very confusing to me, at least. But there are some women that, like you, that are just killing the whole supplement thing. And I'm like, more power to you, girl, because I could not figure it out. I was like, I'm not doing that.
Again, guys, that goes hand in hand with informed is best. Find out as much as you can about how to feed your child, whichever route you go, whether it be breastfeeding, supplements, informed, or whatever route you go, informed is best. Research, research, research. Find the information. Find the resources, the support groups, whatever you need to do to get the information that you need, because it can be challenging. Something as simple as how your child is going to eat can be challenging. So resources and research is important. Very important. I was about to say, were you biased towards formula feeding after your whole experience with breastfeeding?
No. I still, to this day, I would have rather breastfed than formula fed Harlow. But I don't know. I kind of felt like I had no choice. Like I said, I was going back to school full time, her father and I at the same time. And it just beginning to be a headache. And I just felt like the resources I had weren't helping. And like you said, support. And it's not that people didn't support me, but they were like, you're running yourself ragged. Like, is this really what you want to do? Because it might get to a point where your child's hospitalized or you have no choice because you have no supply. So people are just basically telling me, like, learn when enough is enough.
Right.
So I don't know. All the signs were more so pointing towards formula feed, but my stubborn self was like, no, like you have to do this. Because I felt like I felt guilty in a sense. And then I felt like my body wasn't doing what it was supposed to do biologically. So I don't know. I definitely say it was a lot of pride, but I wasn't biased towards formula feeding. I definitely still wanted to breastfeed. So much to the point where I thought about relactating after 6 months.
Oh.
Yeah, but I looked that up. I'm like, that's even more of a headache than what I was going
through.
So I was like, no. But yeah, no, I don't know. I'm not even really biased towards anything. I just wanted Harlow to be healthy, but my initial decision was to breastfeed her. So I felt like I let more so myself down. Because that's another thing too. Like, I had to step back and I'm like, okay, am I doing this for my child's health, or am I doing this because I'm trying to prove something?
Right. I found myself in that position plenty of days. Like, okay, because after I got his tongue tie clipped, I'm like, at that point, when it got to, like, you know, okay, we're getting surgically involved with things now, so do I really still want to do this?
Right.
Even at that point, I was so super nervous. Like, I don't know. I don't, you know, if it's not, because it wasn't like a level one tongue tie where the tongue tie is at the tip of the tongue and you can visibly see it. It was more of a level three posterior one, where it's further to the back. You can't really see it unless you really lift up his tongue and, you know, you go in the whole 9 yards with the examination. So at that point, I was like, you know, I don't, maybe this isn't a good idea. You know, maybe I should just give him formula. You know, maybe this has been, you know, just too much. So at that point, I definitely was feeling guilty and was like, you know, should I still keep going on and moving along with this? You know, so I definitely feel you with that, feeling guilty and, you know, determining whether it is best for you and best for your child at the moment. You know what I'm saying? Because we want what we want as moms, but we also got to realize when enough is enough and what is best for our child. You know what I'm saying? Yes. And us.
And we talked about this in one of our previous episodes as far as self-care. If mommy's not good, the whole household isn't good.
Correct.
And if you're stressed out because of breastfeeding, or even if you are formula feeding and you're stressed out for whatever reason, that's going to, the household's going to be a reflection of what you're going through.
Exactly.
Everyone's going to feed off of that energy.
For sure.
Not going to be a good outcome. So yeah, I agree. We got to know when enough is enough.
Yes, definitely.
So I want to get into formula feeding. I feel like people think that formula feeding is like the easy cop out when it comes to breastfeeding. Like, I which is ironic because most women in the U.S. do formula feed. Rwanda, for example, I think they're number two. Yeah, they're number two in the world, and 87.3% of women there breastfeed.
Wow.
And they're working women. That's the working women.
Wow.
Yeah. So I feel like the world and then people within the U.S. kind of look at women who formula feed as like an easy, easy cop-out. But I don't honestly think it's as easy as people think. And the reason I personally feel that way is, one, it's not. It's costly. Like, it's not cheap at all. By
very costly. Very costly. It's very costly.
Very, very costly. I did the math because Harlow, I would say, what, about 8 cans of the 12-ounce Similac a month up until basically she was on solids and stuff. But I would say roughly about 8 or 7 cans, and they're $16 a can. That's a lot of money. So if you think about monthly, $8, I mean, 8 12-ounce cans that are $16
wow
a month. That's a lot of money. So I was on the short end. Mm-hmm. I was on the lower end of the spectrum. But there are women that pay $1,733 a year for formula.
That's formula alone.
That's formula alone.
Not including the other expenses.
That's formula alone.
Wow.
And that's not taking into account if your child's on a special type like Nutramigen.
Literally.
Which is even more costly.
And 9 cans of Nutramigen is $270.
Yes.
That's a month.
That's astronomical. So, I don't know. I feel like, obviously, it's not the same type of obstacles you face with breastfeeding. But to me, that's still an obstacle. Because now, obviously, you got to work unless you qualify for some type of welfare program, which there are women that just miss the mark.
Yeah.
Just right outside the tax bracket in order to qualify for those programs.
Yep. And then what do you do then?
Right. And then you're working. You're working to feed your child, basically. Working to survive to feed your child. So I don't know. I don't personally think it's an easy cop-out. I just think it's necessary. I just think people do what they have to do or what they think is best. But, yeah.
I also think, too, a lot of moms do it because of, like you said, they're working. And I don't think a lot of moms realize that you can still go to work and breastfeed.
Right.
And not only that, though, the U.S. is not breastfeeding-friendly
country.
Nope, when it comes to working, you know what I'm saying? Because in my support group, a lot of the moms that are going back to work and are breastfeeding, you obviously have to pump so you can still supply, you know, the milk for your baby. But their work area is not breastfeeding friendly. Like, a lot of them are fighting. A lot of them are, you know, having to do the whole I know my rights thing battle back and forth with their worker, you know what I'm saying? Just to have that designated area or that designated space or that designated time frame or period to be able to pump and supply the needs for their kid.
Yes. Well, that's the statistic I found. I think Croatia is number one with 98% of women breastfeeding. But on the Aussie.com, maternity leave in Rwanda is 12 weeks guaranteed, flat out. And that's where I got the statistic from. 87.3% of women breastfeed compared to 23% in the U.S.
Wow.
That's not just a regular mom, that stay at home mom in Rwanda. That's the working woman that breastfeeds. Right. But they clearly 12 weeks maternity leave, like, come on. That's like 4 months. So they clearly, like you said, they clearly, as far as laws and the workforce and unions and stuff, they obviously value the breastfeeding woman more than the United States does.
For sure. Because your baby isn't on solid until, what, 6 months? Yep. And even then, they still have to take breast milk or formula or, you know, some sort of milk. So, yeah, definitely.
And my grandmother, my great grandmother, actually, so she just turned 93, and she had my grandmother mm-hmm. in the 1950s. And she told me people didn't breastfeed back then. She's like, it was, once again, taboo. It was just not something you did back then. In really? Fact, and I found another article on Harvardism.com. Uh-huh. And they said by 1950, women chose formula over breastfeeding because it was considered to be for poor women or uneducated for your children.
What?
Yeah, that's the stigma that we're trying to break out of here in the U.S. And by no means, guys, because we were talking about basically like breastfeeding being good and how people talk down on it.
Yeah.
Feed your child how you want to, because I'm a formula mom.
Right, right. You know?
But I just find it very disheartening, though, that, you know, you're told your breast milk is what's best for your child, and it's like someone's telling you to do something, but they're not giving you
mm-hmm.
the information to do so.
For sure.
Like, they're just telling you, this is what's right, but you're not giving me the resources to do what's right. You're not telling me how to do it. You're not telling me why it's right. You're just telling me it's right.
Right.
And that's or definitely what
it's right, but if it's not working here, use this.
Yes. But okay, so this is what I want to ask too, to go along with that. Do you feel that formula feeding women, people that choose to give their child formula, do you think they're judged more so than women that breastfeed?
Here, no.
No.
More so than breastfeeding women? No. I feel like it's the other way around, if that makes sense.
See, I feel like it depends on where you're at or who you're surrounded with.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know. I feel like there was like breastfeeding pages and things of that sorts that I followed on social media. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a woman that is talking about breastfeeding, say her whole page is centered around breastfeeding tips and tricks mm-hmm. and blah, blah, blah. And she chose to give her baby some formula for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. If you read the comments on those posts, you would swear this lady killed her baby.
Wow. Like,
people are just not. So I guess it just depends on who you're surrounded with and
yeah, and what reason. People...
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Because mm-hmm. I feel like there's definitely more cities and different states that definitely support breastfeeding more or formula more. You know what I'm saying? Yes. So it definitely depends, like you said, where you're at, who you're around, who's surrounding you. Because around here, where I am, us breastfeeding moms are like fighting to even, you know, find a place, you know, to get that knowledge out there, because it's something that's so taboo here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But a lot of moms really want to do it, but we're fighting and we're really trying to make a space and make it comfortable for a lot of moms that want to breastfeed. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, where right.
It seems like formula is pushed here. Honestly, it seems like it's pushed. Like, this everything, every little thing that's not working, like you said, you're telling me that it's best, but you're finding every which way to tell me that to get my baby formula, you know?
Right. So my last question, and this is kind of wacky or out there,
mm-hmm.
but okay, so we know obviously in the U.S. compared to other countries, it's kind of frowned upon or not as accepted to breastfeed your children. Do you think, well, I should more so say in public too at that, like people mm-hmm. are kind of like, ooh, go somewhere with that. But mm-hmm. do you think that is because a woman's body is over-sexualized?
I feel like it can play a role in it. I do. I actually never really thought about it that way, but now that I'm thinking, I feel like it definitely can play a role in it.
Because, like, why? I mean, I know it's an animal. Animal's an animal. But, like, why could mm-hmm. a baby, why could a calf go up to its mom and drink from its udder? Why do puppies drink from their mom's nipples right in front of everybody? But, like, a woman, even with a cover-up, she's breastfeeding in public. And it's like, oh, go to the breastfeeding room or go to the fitting room or can you go to the bathroom?
Mm-hmm. Or not even just that. Before you even breastfeed, I had somebody tell me, oh, no, don't breastfeed. It'll make your boobs saggy. They did. They literally told me that. Don't breastfeed. It'll make your boobs saggy.
And so, I'd have been like, and? Like,
exactly. So to me, I'm like, okay, don't feed my kid because I don't want my boobs to be saggy. And who's to say if they are going to be saggy?
Right.
You don't know my workout regimen. You don't right. know any of that.
You don't but, know me.
But yeah, that can definitely play a huge, huge, huge part in it.
Yeah, I think people should just worry about their own kids and how they feed their kids and worry about their own boobies.
That's for sure. For sure.
But, well, guys, that was it for today's episode. And yes. We will see you guys next Monday at 5. Hey, it's Avery here. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at zilleniummoms@gmail.com or contact us at zilleniummoms on Instagram or Facebook. Did you also know you can leave us a voice message via the Anchor app? While you listen to our episodes on the Anchor app, you will see a message icon at the bottom left. Click the icon at the bottom and then click the record button. It's that simple. We look forward to hearing from you guys, and maybe your question will be featured in next week's episode, which we will be talking about unsolicited parenting advice. Yikes. Until next week.